Well, you know, our God never fails. I want you to know that this afternoon, as I was pondering on God's little plan of salvation, that we don't always understand what he does or why he does it. Several weeks back at the feast, the Lord provided this oil of cedar from Lebanon. And I questioned. Now, I was pressed this afternoon to go to Isaiah 9. And as I was reading, he's given me Isaiah 9 many times in the past few months and years. But there's one verse that really jumped out. And that was verse 10. The bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with dressed stone. The fig trees have been felled or cut, but we will replace them with anybody got a guess? Cedar. If you recall, when the Lord commissioned King David, he was to prepare for his son, but he didn't know which one, to build a temple to the Most High. Solomon made an agreement with the Lebanese king, and they were to supply the king with what? With cedar. The roof of the temple was made of cedar wood. The entire inner panels were made of cedar wood, planks. And in the Holy of Holies, they were overlaid with
gold.
So the first level that God is saying, I'm going to rebuild, is to change it from normal wood to cedar wood. And he began to remind me, even through a dream, because I used to sell lame cedar chests. There's a smile on this woman. And he gave me a dream a few weeks back that there would be a merger between two cedar companies that were making cedar chests. And he's been kind of pounding on my back door. How many know God pounds on your back door until you wake up and go answer him? Well, he wasn't at the front door because it wasn't clear. So I must have missed him. But I didn't. Because then I went to the back door and he was there. How many know the Lord likes the kitchen? That's where all the activity is. That's where the food is prepared. Amen? That's usually where the soup is, in the back burner. Well, come on. If you make good soup, you let it simmer. Amen? Something's in the oven, the whole house smells. Why? When my wife is preparing something different, and I'm walking into the house, even downstairs next to the garage, as I open the door, it filters right down through and you can smell it. Amen? So the activity of the house is in the food is prepared there. Spiritual food is also prepared in God's kitchen. So God uses the back door. And he was reminding me, I will replace the average wood with cedar. Cedar has what kind of qualities?
Aromatic.
It's very aromatic, yes. What else?
Strong.
Huh?
Strong.
Strong?
Hard.
Keeps the moths out.
Keeps what?
Moths.
Keeps the moths out and the worms.
Right.
The canker worm, the palmer worm. Joel 2 comes alive when you think about that, correct? Yeah. And you guys have been anointed over and over with what kind of oil? And the Lord has told me, make them smell it. Well, I didn't understand it first. Why did they have to sniff this stuff? It's like the kids sniffing glue. Oh, we went to church and we sniffed on a bottle of cedar. Yeah. Woohoo. And how many know God does something when he... Well, he's practical. You know, he's not going to waste anything. Put your hand over your inner part right here. Say, my inner man is really the Holy of Holies. And this temple has got the odor of cedar. Hallelujah. And pretty soon, God's going to line it with gold. When my mouth lines up with his. And my thoughts line up with his. And my actions and reactions line up with his. Hallelujah. What a temple I'm going to be. I'd like to talk to you about the divine promises. And sometimes we have a promise from God and we just don't see the answer just yet. And so we're concerned. So I'd like to kind of give you a little bit of insight on how to trust his word by choice. So we're going to be looking at 1 Kings 8, verse 56. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56. It says, praise be to the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel, just as he promised. Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave through his servant Moses. So now, that gives you a Old Testament confirming word that what Moses spoke came to be. And therefore, you can trust it because it did happen as he spoke. The next one I want you to see is Romans chapter 4, verse 21. Romans chapter 4, verse 21. Being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised, not what you dictate to him that he should do. Because we've got a lot of people that are believers and they're commissioning God to do this for them, blah, 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 do it my way or the highway. And obviously, you know who ends up on the highway. It's not him, it's me. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Being grounded in Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by the neighbors. That sound right? No. The amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. You know, there were times that you're going to go through trials and hardships that your flesh is going to just scream. How many have ever had a screaming flesh? Thank you. Because, you know, you're upset, you're having to bow, you don't feel like it, you don't want to, blah, blah, blah. But God says, I have given you the ability by my power, so you use his power to do that which only he can enable you to do. And there are many, many times, Philippians 4:13 became a real vital part of my prayer life. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can. Not I might, not I feel like, I can do. And you can do if you want to. You can do even if you don't want to, through him who strengthens me. Why do we need his help to strengthen us? Because we're, what, focused on whom?
Self.
We're focused on self, right. And it's not something impossible to be done. Now the next one I'm going to give you is in 2 Peter chapter 1, which is where we're going to flow from. So if you'll go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. In the NIV, you'll find that verse 1 says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of God, of our God, and Savior Jesus Christ, has received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now there's a heading before verse 3, which says, making one's calling and election sure. Verse 3 says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life. Whose power? All right. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him. Not our knowledge of each other or our expectations of each other. Do you ever have an expectation that you can't carry out? Do you ever have an expectation of somebody you love and they won't move? Well, whose promises are going to be listened to? Are you going to declare the word out of your heart, or are you going to declare the word out of our Lord's heart? It's going to be up to you. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him, who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine, what? In the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Evil desires have been a part of my life ever since I was a child. They came with the package. I inherited some from here and there and everywhere, and I picked up a few and added a few of my own. Can anybody relate? Okay. Did you ever listen to your mouth and you heard your mom or your dad? And you promised yourself you'd never be like them? Oh, come on, I got a few friends in here. The very thing you'd say, I'll never do, you ended up doing twice over. If you're like me, you did it twice over. Why? Because you made some promises to yourself. Uh-huh. Under the wrong anointing. See, the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. But the promises that you made to yourself are yes and amen in the enemy. And in selfishness and in the kingdom of self. Amen? And you and I serve the kingdom of self. Because after all, we don't want to let me down. It's the truth, isn't it? Verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control. Oh, how many like that ugly word? It's an ugly word because we don't like to be self-controlled. I like to be what?
Set off the hook.
Off the hook? Self-control is a dirty word. In the American generation that we live in, self-control is not acceptable. After all, if you do it quickly. Amen? If it feels good, do it yesterday. And do it again and again. That's the motto of selfishness. It's where we lived. It's where I lived. It's where I enjoy living. Uh-huh. And if it's a good day, I did it all my way. Amen? All right. Why am I teasing you? Because I'm just like you, fighting the very same fight with the same Holy Ghost that you fight with. And I will win if you intercede for me, and vice versa, I intercede for all those slices in that bread. We're different. But they were forming one loaf. Every single part is important. Now there's a few extra there. And how many know we got a few extra that are home? Or on the job, or working, or wish they were here. Why? Because that's the way God works. He's going to use the ones that are here. Amen? Okay. Now, I'd like to go back. Verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. Notice it's progressive. Has anybody gotten to the self-control part and conquered pretty good yet? How many have been struggling with self-control? Oh, I'm so feeling... I feel much better now because I see your slices are just as bad as mine. Honey, how many notice there's a few chunks missing out of you? Yeah. What am I saying? But by the whole, see, what I've already conquered now becomes what? A part of your capacity. If his abilities and my abilities are put together, what happens? One puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We talked about that last week. That is very important. But the body of Christ is so divided because everybody's got an attitude. Oh. While you got your attitude, what is there that's causing problems? Selfishness? Pride? Arrogance? I'm not going to lower myself. No way. Right? That's what we hear inside. Who's talking to you? Is it really you? No. Who's talking to you?
Accuser.
Huh?
The accuser.
Yes. And he doesn't want you to expose him. So he's going to make sure that he's got 2-3 blankets And keep him cozy, comfy, don't disturb me. He puts a no disturb sign. Don't give me a shower. I don't want to be exposed. I don't want to be cleaned up. And you see that oil is being used by God to get rid of the bugs. And he's getting rid of the bugs where? On the inside. See, when I was told to make sure that you breathe it in, it's so that it'll go in. And so you can live without this stuff. Amen? Okay. Add goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Well, I love you if you do it my way. Well, that's what it says. That's what we do, right? If he or she does it my way, we can love them. But as soon as they do it their way, we would like to... How many would like to just have a tuning fork and get them off there? Huh? Tune them up! Why? Because we're in love with ourselves instead of the Lord in them. I want you to do me a favor. Close your eyes. Say, I know I can love Jesus inside of me. But he's not in control of me too much. It's usually me controlling me. But if I let him, and if I allow him, by the promises of his inner heart, from the very core of my inner man, I can be empowered through the promises of God to start adding to the divine gifts that have been imparted to me so that I can grow into maturity and start loving by choice, by being self-controlled, by choice, by being filled with goodness, by choice, by causing all kinds of knowledge of his word to speak into my own being, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can even love the ones that I don't like. Amen. I can even love me. Even if I don't like what I do. By choice. It's up to me. Hallelujah. Are you catching on? Now, why perseverance was left out is because perseverance is a choice. We sometimes get so overwhelmed at trying to be perfect on our own that we get tired and we're sick of perseverance. Amen? And you get the feeling that everybody else is off the hook and you're the only one that's doing anything right. Am I the only one with my hand up? I'm going to help you. All teasing aside. See, I know how the enemy works because he worked on me for years. So I've got a few years of practice already. Why? Because that's what it's all about. Me learning about who I am in Christ Jesus took me an awful long time. And I've shared this many times with you. God's opinion of me doesn't even match what I think of myself. But God's opinion of me is available in Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3. I can change me by declaring the promises of God over myself. Now, if you're serious and you begin to declare the promises of God over yourself and prophesy to yourself, what's going to happen? Tell me what's going to happen.
All
hell's going to break loose. Yes. And is it okay for hell to break loose? Because as they show up, you what? Out they go. You cast them out. You get rid of them. One at a time. As you repent, when they show up, change your mind. Well, I used to think this way. It's not the way God says to think. I used to act this way. It's not the way God decides that I should be acting. And is it hard? Yes. Can you cry out to the Lord to send you an intercessor?
Yes.
Yes. Broken bread too. Remember the song? Broken bread to feed the hungry. Poured out wine. Poured out. Not bottled up. Okay? So those promises that he's given us are for us to become more and more like him. And as we become more and more like him, it gets a little easier every day. There's a little less of me and a little more of him. And we have a little tiny, and a great big God. Why is that little tiny enemy so crafty? I want to hear that one more time.
He can fit his way through stuff.
He can fix his way through stuff. Sift. Well, how many agree with Ethan?
Around for a long time.
He's been around for a long time. Did he practice with a few others before he got to you? What am I saying? I'm saying to you tonight, be aware. You're not alone. We're in this together. You're not a hopeless case waiting to happen to somebody else. You're under construction. Yes, the cedar will have an effect on you. Yes, the oil of joy is a gift that he gave you. Put it on. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Don't sit there just letting it happen to you. You can change your future. You can change the circumstances around you. You can become more and more like him on a daily basis. And you know what? He loves you the way you are. There's an expectation sometimes that we put on ourselves. We should be stronger by now. Did you ever have that one come up to you? Well, you should have this already conquered after all. Blah, blah, blah. Amen? Well, is it the truth? Or does he love you where you're at the moment? Does he love you where you're at the moment? Do you really feel that you're loved? How many have the emotion that they're loved? You can have the emotion, you can have the feeling, yet it can be destroyed in a couple of words. Amen? That go against your soul, mind, will, and emotions. Your mind, will, and emotions are always going to be on the surface. And they are intended that way. God is not creating robots. Every one of those slices of bread was different for a reason. Every single one of us is different. But when we put it together, there's more of him than there was before. So look at this word as a building process. That those promises are there for us. And verse 8, If you possess these qualities in increasing measures, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. He has forgotten that he has been cleansed. Why do you think Peter put that in there? Did Peter have a problem with past sins? I think he was an expert. I like Peter. So if that was so important to write down in this growth pattern that he's looking to build into the church, then you've got to keep that with a little red circle around it in your Bible, so that it doesn't lose its ability to jump out at you. I've been forgiven. I've been forgiven, oh praise the Lord. Why do you think I know the song? I have to sing it to me first. Amen? Close your eyes. Father, I know that by your Spirit you can take them deeper with this, much deeper than I've been able to give them tonight. Because there is so much meat in this particular word of maturity and the potential for more. Lord, I ask that you create an ability for this word to really blossom in their hearts and take it deeper, way down inside, so that they can be victorious over all the ways of the flesh. Father, I believe, without a shadow of a doubt, that you are more than capable of allowing these promises to come to life in each and every one of them. In Jesus' name. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
An amen.